April 26th, 2016, and this is Inside Out, The Naked Truth. And we're coming to you live from the Lupin Lodge, where clothing is optional.
But the truth is always naked.
And we're right here in the beautiful Santa Cruz Mountains, which I got to enjoy today. I am Errol Strider.
And I am Rochelle Alicia Strider. And we welcome you to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight for some conversation about the human condition and what to make of it, sprinkled with laughter, good music, and always a few surprises.
Our show is sponsored by Go Raw. Go Raw makes really healthy food that really tastes good. It's very conscious, very alive. It's probably some of the most alive food you will ever eat because it's, well, Go Raw. And
Universe Spirit, awakening us to the impact of climate destabilization and how we can make a difference.
Now you tell me. But we've been telling you, I heard them say. But just to make sure you know that you've been told, oh, ye listener out there, Now You Tell Me is our turn of phrase. Every week we pick a phrase, and then we turn it and see what's on the other side. In the meantime, Now You Tell Me is tonight's conversation. Now You Tell Me can either be a good excuse or a call to action. Here's some opportunities. Dramatic climate destabilization is happening now. Major inequities exist in our culture. War is going on. Much preventable suffering can be avoided. We can access our eternal nature and abide therein. You are love. Now you tell me, I hear you saying. Okay, what about it? Excuse or call to action? You get to decide, which may be one of our turn of phrases for another show. Now you tell me. So you've been told. But we're going to dig a little more deeply tonight in that story and see what we can come up with in the quirky human condition as it is. And as my mother used to say, how many times have I told you?
Now you're telling me.
Right. What do you have to say about Now You Tell Me, Rochelle?
Well, it all started trying to convert a futon bed into a futon couch. You stood at one end and pushed the frame in while I stood at the other end and lifted the frame up. 1, 2, 3, go, you said. We went on go. It was an almost, not quite. The timing was off. And then you said, you have to wait until I push. Ah, now you tell me. So the couch was made, and tonight's fun phrase was born.
Now you tell me.
And that's how it happened, folks.
It makes me ponder all the times I've been told things that I didn't know. Like when I was 13 and I was taking a geometry class, and Mr. Fenner was the geometry teacher. He was also the guy who checked for the parking cars in the parking lot. Mr. Fenner came up to me, pulled me out of the class, and he said, I hear you've been promoted. And I said, I didn't know that. He says, yeah, you've been made a teacher. And I said, really? He says, yeah, because you parked in the teacher's parking lot. Now, if I knew then to say, now you tell me, it would probably not have been a good idea. Mr. Fenner was kind of a stern guy, but he had a nice sense of humor, and I always liked him. And I love geometry. I love the fact that there are angles and squares and circles and those shapes that exist in the universe, and we get to monkey with them.
You can monkey with anything. You're my favorite monkey. Now you tell me, you just say. I never knew I was your favorite monkey.
Now you tell me. All this time. So,
Every moment is a now you tell me. Because when we're open to realizing that life is our school, I remember telling our sons when they graduated from school that, well, now you attend the real school, really going to be learning life's lessons. And that's very important. And so the most important thing to know is that I'm a constant student and a teacher, because I tend to park in the teacher's parking lot.
I got this job managing an apartment building in San Francisco on Polk Street. Incidentally, I had yet again last night my dream that I get in the elevator to go to my apartment. Of course, it looked nothing like the actual thing.
Especially because your apartment was down on the basement.
On the first floor, right. So that's where you knew the dream was going to go awry.
Or up.
I end up in a very different place, and I try to get back to Polk Street. I've had this dream many times.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, all the people who interpret dreams, send Errol your interpretation of what this all means.
Nobody knows where Polk Street is. I've had the dream many times. And I get lost, and nobody knows. And what's so interesting in the dream is that the people are so vivid, just like they're right there, like I'm right there actually talking to them. And it makes me wonder sometimes if one does travel when you're asleep, because I swear I can look at the details of those people's faces as if I'm standing right in front of them. But back to the story when I got the job managing the apartment building. I did a lot of now you tell me's there because I realized that that was my first real education. That's what the point was. You made something about your real education. I felt my real education started in the apartment building, dealing with all the nefarious characters in that 45-unit building on, guess what street?
Polk Street?
Yes. They were just amazing characters. There was a good old Hugo. He was an Italian guy, and he lived in the apartment. And there was a guy that I wrote a poem about called The Leaner, and I always imagined him sitting on the edge of his bed, The Leaner. And then there was Officer Cassidy, who always had a big bar of chocolate, was a very happy fellow, and we would talk about 12-step meetings. And then there was the gay couple who cut my hair. And there was a Yugoslavian mechanic who gave me a free tune-up. And then there was Patrick who tried to kill me.
You've told me now.
And there was Virginia that Patrick was living with. That was why he tried to kill me, because Virginia and I got together. And then there was Anne who lived across the hall, and she had flood paranoia. That's right. And then there was Cliff and his wife that lived down the hall, and he was a merchant seaman, and they would get drunk and they would yell to all hours of the night. It was just an amazing education that I'm so grateful to have, as I'm grateful to have the one we're having right now here at Lupin Lodge, where we deal with another cast of crazy, wonderful, zany characters.
And not only that, but at Lupin, people come from all over the world to bathe and sunbathe in the nude. Europe has been doing that for years, but Lupin has been around 80 years as a place where people come, take their clothes off, as I like to say, undress and de-stress. We've met some incredible people since we've been here. And the people who live here. Somebody said something today which I found very funny. He said that a young woman that he knew didn't like the idea that he wasn't a naturist. He thought that was odd.
Really?
I found that very funny. So many people think of people who like to be naked in nature as odd. And this woman thought that somebody who didn't do that was odd. So there you go. Now you tell me one way or the other.
Professor Umbridge, you're always a great source of perspective. Now tell me, all this time, I thought that perhaps you might not have recognized it, but you do indeed recognize it, and I'm very grateful to be on this program. Very grateful to you, Errol, by the way. Now you tell me. Yes, yes, you should know that, because if, without you, quite frankly, I wouldn't be on this program. I wouldn't be able to say much of anything. You bring it out in me, actually.
Actually, Professor Umbridge, without him, you wouldn't exist.
Well, I wouldn't take it quite that far. I like to think that I have an independent existence on my own, and that when I leave this show, I go off somewhere and have my life, as it were.
Deluded you may be.
Well, it's not that simple, my dear, because...
You're supposed to say, now you tell me.
Oh, now you tell me? Of course, now you tell me. Coming from British Isles, as I do, there's been a lot of telling over the years. Many people telling them things that people go, oh, now you tell me. So the question is, do they say it with a sense of regret? Oh, now you tell me. Ah, I wish you had told me that sooner. Oh, my. And then often the answer would be, you wouldn't have listened. Oh, and then it's a time for humility to show up. Speaking of there it is, let's go back a little and remember this song. Because when you say, now you tell me, it's like now, and there's, you know, where's the now, and what side of the now are you on? Are you on both sides of the now? Can you be on both sides of the now?
Ice cream castles in the air, feather canyons everywhere. I've looked at clouds that way, but now they only block the sun. They rain, they snow on everyone. So many things I would have done, but clouds got in my way. I've looked at clouds from both sides now, from up and down, and still somehow it's clouds' illusions I recall. I really don't know clouds at all. Moons and Junes and Ferris wheels, dizzy dancing way you feel, as every fairy tale comes real. I've looked at love that way, but now it's just another show. Leave them laughing when you go, and if you care, don't let them know. Don't give yourself away. Dead love from both sides now, from give and take, and still somehow it's love's illusions I recall. I really don't know love at all. Tears and fears and feeling proud, say I love you right out loud. Dreams and schemes and circus crowds, I've looked at life that way, but now old friends are acting strange. They shake their heads and say I've changed, but something's lost when something's gained. Living every day, I've looked at life from both sides now, from win and lose, and still somehow it's life's illusions I recall. I really don't know life.
That was Neil Diamond singing Both Sides.
You know, we went to the same high school.
You and Neil?
Mm-hmm. Not at the same time, but close. And at my high school reunion, the music teacher talked about him and told him he should be a soloist. He was in the choir, I mean, the glee club, I guess.
Really?
And he said, oh, that was too scary. And then he went on.
It's good to revisit lyrics. Tears and fears and feeling proud to say, I love you, right out loud. Dreams and schemes and circus crowds, I've looked at life that way. But now old friends are acting strange. They shake their heads, they say, I've changed. But something's lost, but something's gained in living every day. I've looked at life from both sides now, from win and lose, and still, somehow, it's life's illusions I recall. I really don't know life at all.
That's an honest lyric. Now you tell me just how honest it is. To admit to the fact that you don't know anything is the beginning of knowing.
I mentioned a few weeks ago that I've been rereading Communion with God, one of the Conversation with God books by Neil Donald Walsh. I found it in a pile of clothing, actually, on the lawn here at Lupin during a clothing exchange, and so it must have been time for me to reread it, because it has spoken to me. And this particular one, he gets into all these illusions, starting with the illusion of lack and the illusion of superiority, etc. So many different illusions. The first part of the book, he shows how it's all just an illusion. And then once he gets you to where you see that it's an illusion, he picks up with, well, what are these illusions for then? That's very rich to recognize that we live in an illusion, but it serves a purpose. I'll give you an example. The illusion of superiority. He says that is an option so that you can learn to recognize that it need never be an option, the feeling of being superior. So it makes you mindful and more appreciative of the equality of who we are with each other.
I keep hearing this thing that I will tell you when you're ready to hear. Think that now you tell me. Of course, now you're ready to hear, to realize that this illusion of superiority is something that you can realize that it's nothing. It is an illusion, and you have to have it to know it. That's everything. All that which is not eternal is an illusion.
Rabbi, you talk a lot about illusion. Many people actually quote you. And some of the things you said about the illusory nature of life. Now you tell me. I'm quoted. Hey, I'm a quoted being. This is me, Rabbi Greenberg. I love the fact that someone's quoting me, that I should have said something to them that's worth repeating so that they'll be able to say it to another person who will say, after they're hearing this great insight from Rabbi Greenberg, ah, now you tell me. And that fellow was sitting in shul week after week when I was saying the same thing, but he couldn't hear it then. He was, what'd you say, ready?
That's right.
And ready is when life tickles your bottom enough, gets it to the point where a question wants to rise up right out of your bottom chakra, they call it.
Admin, understand, pummeling you with certain thing over and over and over again until you reach the point where you'll buy it. Because you've heard it so many times, it becomes so familiar. It's like, oh, now you tell me, and off you go and buy the product. And it's pummeling information. If we can pummel information that is an illusion, why not pummel information that is born out of truth, beauty, and goodness?
But you first have to get a taste for it. You acquire a taste. It isn't like it comes right away, like a little baby, like your granddaughter. She's acquiring a taste for food. Now she's eating food. She used to eat her puppets, her toys, the keys.
And my arm.
Everything that she could find that she could put in her mouth. Well, something like that. She ate a piece of table. And all of it was trying to decide, is this is what it's going to taste like, so she could determine for herself, I will have teeth. But the people running for office now, talking about the illusion, and the salesman, you said, Trump fella, he is such a good salesman. I don't know what else he brings, but maybe he can use his salesmanship skills to sell the people who are warring in the Middle East to stop. That would be a great use of our president, who's a salesman. What do you think, Tara? Senator, you're like into politics. What would you think? Yeah, it's all about sales, isn't it? And image and what you project. Obviously, this fellow's someone who's appealing to the outrage and the frustration of folks right now. We so want to have a leader who will put it all back together for us. What we need to hear right now, if I may say so, is that unless we, each of us, choose to be it, the United People of the United States, we should add that to our name. It's not just the United States, but the United People of the United States. Then we're talking.
But they're not united. To me, a great leader is someone who inspires you to be great, because that's how wonderful things happen. Otherwise, we make the leader great, and we become less. If someone's going to sell me something, what they're going to sell me that I want to hear is that I have the ability, that I can do it. I can make change that's for the better. I personally can do that, and everybody else can too. And you can, and he can, and she can, and everybody can. Everybody can make a difference because we are strong human beings. Someone inspires me to do that. That's a person I think of as a great leader.
Now you tell me.
Yeah.
That is a great leader. What'd you say? Let me just interject here. There were two British prime ministers, one followed the other, Disraeli and Gladstone. Story goes that when you went to see one, and I wish I could remember which was which, but that would be worth looking up, he made you feel like he was the most important and wonderful, powerful person in the world when you were with him. And when you were with the other one, made you feel like you were the most important and powerful person in the world. It was very different.
The latter is the one that I think that you'll find yourself thinking great things of, because he makes you feel important, or she makes you feel important. And I do hope we have a woman president in the United States. We've been so far behind.
We have really been retarded, haven't we? It was tough. Think about what women, of course, not being one, but just historically, you've had...
Now you tell me?
I'll just say this. Woman, you've paid your dues.
And now you tell me. I've paid my dues. I know. But I'm glad to hear you say it. Well, you were saying something, and I wanted to interrupt with that wonderful phrase, but nevertheless, go on.
What you've had to deal with to break through into equality, and still are. And there are parts of the world where it's still so subjugated.
Listen, if a woman could be bought for a few cattle, we were chattel for so many centuries. And there were times before that when women were warriors, and there was a whole reality of strong, powerful women, goddesses, and everything else. But the male took over.
You know what I paid for you? I paid my 1959 Chrysler.
Now you tell me. You were robbed. You could have gotten me for a 1959 Oldsmobile.
I didn't know what it is, but it's okay not to know what things are.
Oh,
What was this song?
That was by Ripple. I don't know what it is, but it is funky. Sometimes I think it's just good to have a piece of music that makes me want to move. I did. I hope you were moving out there.
I don't know what it is, but it is funky.
Yeah.
Now you tell me.
Well, at some point, I knew we were going to have to disclose this information. Funky. That's such a great word. Barney, you've done a lot with funky. I know you have. Now you tell me. All this time, I thought I was saying really profound things here and trying to make a contribution, but funky. All right, I'll
hey,
do funky.
Funky is profound.
And what's funky? When you think about it, funky underwear. You don't want funky underwear. Surgeon, when she went in there to redo hernia operation, if I may say so, Errol, I think I heard it from you, because that was you, and she said to you, when she got inside there, of course, she told you this later, she said, boy, that's really funky. Now, when your surgeon says to you about a previous operation that's fixing your hernia, I can see, Errol, why you would be a little disconcerted about that. Yes, it did actually raise up my level of, man, what were they doing in there the first time? As a matter of fact, lo and behold, for the third time, I have been diagnosed with same hernia, except this time it's more challenging. Why is that? Because there's scar tissue there, and all the good blood and tributaries are carrying your blood gets all mixed up with the scar tissue. Couldn't have been really pleasant, the surgeon there, that he had been funky, and now you may need another operation. Yeah, I did not want to say, now you tell me, because I knew it was coming. But I have a choice. I can live with the pain. That's one way of looking at it. Or I can opt for the risk of the operation. Well, we'll be excited, Errol, to hear which one of these choices you're going to make, man. So will you keep us informed week to week? Oh, yeah, you can be sure. I'll let you know. Yeah, I want to know, because I want to be able to say, now you told me, to whatever you end up doing. Okay, good luck with that. Thank you, Barney.
It's interesting how the things that happen to our bodies circumvent profound thinking. And all you are left with is like, this is a painful thing. This hurts. Our bodies definitely ask for attention, especially when they're hurting. They say, pay attention to me. Don't be thinking of other things. I am more important than anything else at this moment.
Now you tell me, Bobby.
That's right.
I didn't know that. I thought it was my highfalutin intellectual thoughts that were the most important
thing.
Now
your body doesn't care. Not when you're hurting.
There's an interesting opportunity to look at fear. One of my spiritual practices is, when fear shows up, to watch it, have an inquiring mind about it. Don't just go with it. Of course, sometimes when the saber-toothed rabbit rears its ugly fangs, fear will just take over.
Which it should, because otherwise you wouldn't be here.
Now you tell me. But with something like the possibility of a risky operation, you can't help but notice a certain fear that wants to come up. This is the big lesson that I've learned. I don't have to obey or react to or continue to extend this fear. I can choose to put it aside.
Doesn't you don't have to encourage it.
Right. It doesn't have to be part of the equation.
I notice that when I confront my fears, whatever they may be, I use the word embrace. Oh, I'm frightened right now. All of a sudden, the room expands so that creativity can come into it. Because when I'm in fear, it's like I'm very enclosed in this place of fear. But when I say, I'm frightened, and that's what's happening right now, and there's an embrace, there's no resistance to the fear, all of a sudden, creativity shows up. Just what happened this morning when we came up with the phrase for this thing. There was no fear, there was no condemnation when you said what you said, go after I push, you pull. Okay. And what happened is we came up with a fun phrase.
Each week we go through a little bit of a struggle because one of us will come up with a phrase. Let me back up. We've made an agreement that we don't try and sell each other on a phrase or defend our phrase.
Now you tell me. I couldn't help myself. Too good.
That's good.
We don't always remember, but we do try not to sell each other.
I felt like I was succumbing to Rochelle's powerful wanting to have a particular one. And then this morning I said, wait a minute. I thought we agreed that we weren't going to capitulate, either of us. We're going to always come up with one that we both go, yes.
And we did. Now you tell me this.
What I want to do now is we've been doing these turns of phrases for a year now.
What are you calling them?
Turn of phrase.
I like fun phrase.
I just wanted to give you a little review of just some of the over 40 phrases. We're just going to do a few of them as if they were a conversation. So it starts with...
It's always something.
Here we go again.
We got to start somewhere.
Really?
What'd you expect?
That's beside the point.
You sure?
You have no idea.
You'd be surprised.
Yes and no.
On the other hand...
Don't get me wrong.
I beg your pardon?
Now you're talking.
And so we are. Been talking a long time, and I've enjoyed every word that comes out of this program because I'm inspired by the things that come up between us as well.
There are some wonderful things that come up between us.
Now you tell me. It just struck me funny.
There are one or two, and we try and bring them forward. But before I go any further into that, I haven't had you on the show, Professor Schnitzel. And I have to say, when you're not here, I miss you. Oh, no, now you're telling me? Ah, the missing is happening here? Well, it's good to be told now, better late than never. So now you're telling me people don't like being told, for one thing. So to get them to say to their now that they have just gotten to where the telling is acknowledged, they must have gone through some letting go of their point of view. Have you noticed most people like to tell you, and not as many people like to be told? And it doesn't matter how many times you say, how many times am I telling you, like your mother, Errol, they still don't necessarily want to listen because people think if they're listening, somehow they are less than. In order to be more than, they have to be putting out. And so you have people putting out at it and each other, and it creates all kinds of conflict, riff-raffiness, which is... Not me, not even the English word that I'm thinking of, riff-raff. Well, you've seen riff-raff on the beach, yeah?
I don't know if that's exactly what you mean.
Oh, it doesn't matter. It's
riff-raff in English is like people doing things that are not right.
Ah, riff-raff. We have riff-raffians, and they are very much related to the riff-raffians. The raffians get together, and they have a very rough time.
I think raffians are... A religious cult in some cultures.
That was the Raffians, the Rosarashians, or something like that. I don't know. My English is not so good. But one of the things here, where science and religion, the best of each, come together is the recognition that there's these forces that are moving things along in ways that are almost entirely incomprehensible. So both science and spirituality, taken as far as they can go, come up against a huge mystery of a vast somethingness that is incomprehensible and is at the same time inviting us to participate on a greater degree of love and creativity. Have a blast. The universe is saying, I had a blast at the beginning of the universe, and that's how I got here. It was called the Big Blast.
Now you tell me it's called the Big Blast. I am aware, as you were talking, I've read the universe respirates, and we respirate in and out, in and out. And I think that's the secret to good communication. You say, like, people are put out and people don't like being told. They want to do the telling. The telling is the giving, and the being told is the receiving. You got to have both, tell and receive, to practice that. Like you catch a ball, you throw a ball, someone catches it, you throw it back, someone catches it. This goes back and forth, back and forth. That is the excitement of relationship.
Now you tell me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. I wonder what the excitement of the relationship was. It's the back and forth. I knew that.
I know you knew that.
I knew it was the back and forth.
We have to say that phrase.
It was also the in and out and the near and far. It's this continuum. And just as in much of history, people thought the world was flat and then come to find out it's a circle. I've just been reading about Magellan. I think we will have the same awareness on a consciousness level to the degree that we think there is polar opposites. This is at one end and that's the other end. Instead of realizing that it's just a continuum of the breath, as you say, and that will be the equivalent of discovering that the earth is round when we realize that it's not an end over here as a total opposite over there. It's just a continuum of movement, ever extending the extremes so that there's more universe in the midst of all that for us to play with and co-create with and add to and grow with.
Now you tell me.
And I'd like to tell you more, but before I do that, I want you to hear this song by the Cave Singers. I like the title of this song. It's called Distant Shores.
Distant Shores?
Shores.
Stones. If the summer is gone, then it's that bad. So let's take tonight. Oh, my little one. If the captain is right, shall be gone. Lost in the rhythm, cause the rhythm is why you're lost in the rhythm, cause the rhythm is sad. I'm gonna be reaching at the foot of the wood, where the earth will end and the wild sun sad until she's gone. Summer is yawning, yeah, the crowd's gone in droves. So let's take tonight, oh, dark little one. A strong stove in the past, we'll keep our kettles warm. Lost in the rhythm, cause the rhythm is why you're gonna be reaching at the foot of the world, where our heart begins and the wild sun sets until it's gone.
The Cave Singers. That's really a poem. On airborne eyes, yay. We'll see black storms if the summer is gone. Let it slide by. So let's take tonight, oh my little one. If the captain is right, then we shall be gone. Lost in the rhythm, cause the rhythm is wild. Lost in the rhythm, cause the prison is sad. Gonna need to reach her like the foot of the world, where the earth will end and the wild subside. Hey, to be alive, still need these bones. See, the summer is yawning. Yeah, the crowd's gone in droves.
Now he tells me.
Wanted you to know, and sometimes the music can be so compelling that we don't often hear the lyrics. Oh, hi, Father O'Malley. You are such a joy to see. Oh, no, you tell me. Not everyone's so happy to see me now as they used to be, but some people get a little scared when they see the priest coming at them because they go into guilt. Right away, it's like, oh, the priest is going to see the bad things I've been doing and I'm going to have to go to confession. I've learned something about confession there, and that is people have the opportunity to divest themselves of the burden of guilt that they've been carried around and have some hope that these things that they judge about themselves can be absolved. Well, it's a pleasure to be able to do that because it's both an illusion. It can't be absolved because from the point of view of non-duality, it never happened in the first place. But we let them go through this process because we know there's a heavy weight of guilt and fear of being punished that still hangs over so many people, which is why we try to tell them there, you can be free if you want. Some of them actually say, oh, Father O'Malley, now you tell me. So, Rochelle there, what have you been told lately that was a surprise? That you thought of, oh, now you tell me. And it really changed and altered your point of view about something or somebody. Have you got anything that comes to mind?
Well, just what happened this morning. You push first, and then I pull. And it definitely altered the way we make the couch in the morning.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that you're both learning when it's time to push and when it's time to pull. Because when married folks like yourselves there learn the push-pull, when they come to appreciate it as much as the in and the out, well, then you have something truly grand that's happening.
Well, now you tell me. I do know that.
So this is Inside Out, The Naked Truth. Let's talk a little bit about our sponsors, because we're so grateful for Go Raw and Universe Spirit.
And just remember that Go Raw is raw food. It's food that has never been cooked beyond a certain temperature so that it doesn't lose any of its nutrition, any of its goodness, and that's why it's so good for you.
And in terms of Job One for Humanity, which is the website for Universe Spirit, and we encourage you to go there, and we want you to sign a petition. The petition is, they're putting together a petition to send to philanthropists because the necessity of putting money and energy and focus on the climate change is so great that we want people to sign a petition. So go to Job One for Humanity and add your name to it. We're just kind of on the outskirts of feeling the consequences of this activity, but it's going to get closer and closer. And by what they say, 2030, a lot of you who never thought you would will be having beachfront property.
Oh dear. And now you tell me.
This Senator Borgata. Well, I'd just like to put a plug in here. You got this vote. If people put in as much energy as to get in the love and cooperation out as they do to get the vote out, well, I dare say you would have a significant improvement and acceleration of the kind of awareness that it's going to take to put an end to all this fossil fuel garbaging up the planet, which is what's going on and on and on. There are these fossil fuels. They are mad because they didn't expect to be fossil fuels. They were alive and happy at one time. And now they're just filling up the whole planet with the waste, and it's just choking us all. So we want you to sign that petition now. He's talking about Job 1 for humanity.
You know, a plane took off. It is navigating the whole world solar-powered. Did you read about that?
No.
Yeah, they flew over San Francisco recently, and people got to take pictures of it. So it's the first solar-powered airplane that is going around the world. Every time I've been in a plane and they fly above the clouds, the sun is shining. Because above the clouds, that's where the sun is. I was thinking, why don't they use solar power on planes? It makes such great sense, because every time they fly in the daytime, and there's enough solar power to get them flying in the evening, too.
That makes so much sense. I can hear them sing. Now you tell me. We are hopping to it. You said something the other day, Rochelle, that I really resonated with, and that's the fact that we're resilient and we can be very creative, and we get ourselves backed up against the wall. We do actually step up, and that's part of the evolutionary process. I've come to appreciate that evolution certainly is not this kind of smooth, aren't we feeling good, growing into betterness all the time. No, it starts and stops and breakdowns and a lot of damage and indecisiveness and moving here and moving there. And it's just a bunch of problems and conflagration going on all over the place. And yet out of that is being born a new consciousness, a new awareness, that awareness that has the capacity to know itself in the mirror of the face of the very creator, the very source and fullness of love that has made life possible.
Now you tell me.
Well, I didn't want you to go to bed tonight unaware of this incredible possibility. So we've been looking at, now you tell me, and looking at the things that we're told. And I hope we've told you something tonight that titillated your curiosity or sparked up your laugh reflex, or maybe even challenged your assumptions. What do you think about that?
If you want to believe that, then it's true.
See, now that's a whole other subject. Well, we do want to believe it. But before we go, I want to give you just a sense of what the feeling of being in this fabulous place of serenity that is available to us anytime we want. This is a piece of music by Samuel Barber called Sure on the Shining Night.
Was watch for me this all I work now.
That's Sure on the Shining Night, lyrics by Morten Lauritsen and the Concordia Choir. Music by one of my favorite composers, Samuel Barber. Please, before you're dead, listen to the violin concerto of Samuel Barber.
Which is going to be played at my memorial whenever I die.
Come to the memorial. If you don't like Rochelle, it doesn't matter. You'll hear this great piece by Samuel Barber. So, now you tell me. Well, I think we're about ready to sign off. But before we do, reminder that this is Inside Out, The Naked Truth. You can reach us. Go to our website, thelaughingheart.org, or send me an email, estrider@gmail.com. I will get back to you. We'd love to hear how you respond to our show. In the meantime, Rochelle, what do we have to remember?
Remember that resistance is what we add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
Now you tell me.